my heart, and I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Oh, oh. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Thank you, Jessica. It was beautiful. Scripture reading today is from John 14, 1 through 11. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to me, that where I am, where you may be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. The word of God. For the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Father's Day reminds me of a joke that my dad told me. And it was a very long joke, but it goes on the premise as, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And I don't know if you've heard these jokes before, but the longer it goes, they say, oh, that's good news. Well, not really. And it goes on and on. It's good news, it's bad news, it's good news, it's bad news, it's good news, it's bad news. So I'm going to start with some of the stunning impacts of fatherhood. In what is now a classic article from Touchstone, Robbie Lowe did a stunning research comparing families in which one parent or both parents regularly attended church. In the whole households where the mother went alone, 3% of children grew up to do the same. And fathers where both mother and father attended, 33% of the children attended every Sunday, with another 41% attending on a monthly basis. So 3/4 of the kids whose mom and dad both made church a priority too. Clearly, a dad makes a difference. A second study was attempted looking at female runaways and adult movie actresses about the relationships with their dad and how it affected them. In her book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, Meg Meeker makes a remark that they had to abandon the study because there weren't enough of these women who had a relationship with their father to make it a viable study. That even a relationship with a nominally skilled father made a difference in these women's lives, and they did not choose that path. But many men find it a very imposing and very challenging understanding. See, the name that Jesus used for God is Father. If that doesn't intimidate you, there's something wrong with you. The fact that the title that you take on is the title that Jesus attributes to God should scare you and back you off just a little bit. But what has happened is because it is such an intimidating title, the figure of father is fading. You see it in comedy, you see it in TVs, you see it in movies. There's very seldom a strong father figure. If there is a father figure in the show, he is the comic relief and the one that is laughed at. And what has happened is that fathers have gladly acquiesced the job and stepped away. Dr. James Dobson pointed out that fathers have been giving example that you turn to what you want to do, you fulfill who you are, and you do the things that feed you. Should we be surprised that the children of today often run with the same values? I'll turn to myself. I'll do what fulfills me. I'll do what makes me happy. The last thing is I get a certain amount of reassurance by reading the Bible when Jesus talks about biblical marriage, and he says a man and a woman shall leave their homes and they shall become one flesh and be faithful to one another as long as they both shall live. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. The disciples' response is, that's impossible. Which shouldn't surprise us, should it? It does sound impossible. And Jesus says, that's why you rely on God. Because for you to do it all by yourself is impossible. But what does the scripture say? All things are possible through God. So what is it that we are supposed to do? N.T. Wright wrote, when you get married and you have a child, you have cooperated with your wife and God and to create a being that is going on to be divinized. As C.S. Lewis put it, if we saw one another as we will be in heaven, we'd be tempted to fall down and worship each other. And you are responsible for bringing that person into life. Pretty amazing stuff. Now, if you're like me, you feel a certain shortcoming at this point. And you feel as though, who am I to step into those jobs? Lewis says, if you feel convicted and you feel unworthy, know that it's not God talking. The accusing is the job of the devil, not the Lord. So none of us has been the father that they would have wanted to be. I had too many cups of coffee this morning, can you tell? So none of us has been the father that they wanted to be. But what Lewis argues is it's not what you've done, it's what you're going to try to do next that matters. The more you come to know God as Father, the more you will understand what others need from a father. A man's power is in his meekness. I listened to a powerful, powerful sermon by a man by the name of John Ricardo, and he said, meekness is probably the most understood word in the English language. The word in Greek is praus, P-R-A-U-S, and it has to do with how a horse is reined. So I don't know if you are into horse racing, but at Kentucky Derby, they show all these horses in their stalls, and they're in the reins, and the rider's up on top, and when that gate opens up and they spring out, they said the horse has been meeked. It has been channeled. All its power and energy is being directed in the way it's supposed to go. That's what meekness is. Meekness is not timidity. Weakness is allowing someone else to have the reins. Fatherhood is meekness because God is supposed to have the reins. The problem comes is when we try to take the reins ourselves. Can you imagine giving the horse its own reins? You have no idea where that horse is going to go. Probably back to his stall where the food is. But the idea is that you're supposed to turn the reins over to God. Now, I know there are many examples, I think fewer now than there used to be, of fathers who think that they are God and that they are going to be the example of all that is supposed to be and everyone is supposed to emulate them and they are supposed to do it the way Dad does it because Dad, Father, knows best. But you do learn lessons from your dad. Sometimes you learn what not to do. Sometimes as a father, you have to be humble enough to be the example of what not to do. When you make a mistake like this, this is what you do next. There have been some great examples of what fathers have taught sons. In the sporting world, it's everywhere. The front page of the CBS Sports today is Arch Manning deciding on which school he's going to play football for. His dad was Connor Manning. Connor's dad was Archie Manning. His uncles are Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. you can tell a lot of teaching about football went on in that house. Rick Warren is the pastor of Saddleback Church in California. It has been on and off one of the biggest churches in the country. And he said he was formed by his dad. His dad was a church builder. And I don't mean he launched churches. He actually built the buildings. But as his dad was dying, he was on his deathbed. And in the hour before he passed, two or three times he tried to get out of the bed and say, "Got to make one more for Jesus. Got to make one more for Jesus. Got to make one more for Jesus." Rick Warren never forgot that. And he has been trying to get one more for Jesus all of his life because of those words put in his heart by his dad. Some of you wish that I would have taken James Roosevelt's wisdom that he got from his father, FDR. He says, "My dad always told me, whenever giving a speech, be sincere, be brief, and be seated." A great military leader, William Ames, said, "My father taught me to work, but taught me not to live for it." A work ethic is something that we are to instill in our children. It's something that we're supposed to give them so they can understand that it is by your efforts that you make a life, but it is not in those efforts that you live a life. So as we are going, we will give pictures to our children of what the Father is like or what the Father is not like. The first and most important thing that we give our children is stability and safety. And I was surprised when I read this in three different places and three different studies. The most important thing you can do to give children safety, stability, and confidence is not to show how much you love them, but to show how much you love and respect their mother. Because in that, they get their safety. And I like Meg Meeker's thing. She says, "Show them that you love and value their mother, even if it makes them go, ooh." There are some wonderful songs about being a father and how to be a father. There's one that's, I think, the epitome of how not to be a father. It was sung by Johnny Cash, and it's called "A Boy Named Sue." To make the story really short, he knew he was going to abandon his child and leave him fatherless. So he figured if he named him Sue, he'd end up being tough because they beat him up all the time. And at the end of the story, he finally comes across his dad and they fight in the streets outside a bar. And he says, "I realized that maybe he was right. He did give me the grit in my stomach and the strengthen my arms, and if I have a boy, I'm going to name him Steve, John, Nathan, anything but Sue." Because he understood, even though it worked, it was not the way you raised a son. One of my favorites is "Love Without End, Amen" by George Strait. Because it tells a story about Hesed, the steadfast love of God. And he talks about when he became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like his father's son. And when my patience had been tested to the end, I took my dad's secret and I passed it on to him and I told him, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. It's a secret that my dad said was just between us. Daddies don't just love their fathers every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. And the reason I like it is at the end of his life, he's standing outside the pearly gates and he hears the words from the other side. And it's Jesus telling him the story of what his father told him. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So again, we are placed in a position where we're supposed to emulate or reflect the Father's love to our children. The second thing is we are going to screw it up. Be humble enough to be an example of what happens when you do it wrong. As I come to a close, I will give you advice my dad gave me. He said, always be ready to admit when you're wrong. Even when you're not. Because I think those are the things that people remember. I don't know how your father, you remember your father, loving, sacrificial, generous, faithful, hardworking. My kids will probably include goofy. But there's a part of a reflection of God that takes us back. So I will close with these four points. Be generous in your responsibility to your kids. Find what they do right and hold it up. In the words of Dr. Spock, children are barbarians. Remember, we have to civilize them. Remember that they learn their faith from you. Give them a work ethic. But in the words of the country song, work the job hard, but don't work your life away. And as you live your life, show them that the God is the Father of your life. Because the best thing you may ever hear is one of your children say, you help me know a little bit about God. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we come before you today, we remember our fathers for the things they did right and the things they did wrong. We pray, Lord, that some reflection of you came through. An understanding of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a dad, what it means to be a family. And let it be a precursor of what we'll experience in heaven when we become part of your family for all eternity. And all God's children said,